I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Spoiler alert, if you have not yet seen 2005 Sueno and you don't want to know what happens at the end, we may spoil it in this podcast. You've been warned.
Peace. I hate the word.
I got one leg is gonna fuck to the ticket.
Playing a little cornstarch on my werewolf, man.
Luigi Mario! Hello, everyone, and welcome to Mission Zach's Leguizamo-rama. This is a podcast where each week, Zach and I have a chat about John Leguizamo and all of the shit he's been in, and it's a lot of shit. But we're still enjoying it. We're riding this fucking wave. My name is Mish Wittrup. You might know me from having dreams from time to time.
Yes.
That was good.
Sueno, of course, Sueno. The Spanish
having
word.
Suenos. I've been having Suenos.
Having a Sueni? Is it? That's how Suenos. It would work in Italian.
And I'm joined, as always, by my dreamy friend. Zach Ruane, who you might know from.
Also having a haircut too young for me.
Yeah, big time. We are really, really lucky this week because we get to be joined by the very, very, very funny Xavier Michalidis, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much. This has been one of my Suenos for a long time, and I can't believe we're finally getting to talk about not only Sueno. Not only do I get to do the podcast, but get to talk about Sueno, a movie that I've been passionate about for a long time.
Now, Xavier, you have a comedy partner. I would say in Ben Russell.
Yes,
you're currently doing. Releasing a web series that I'm a bit of a part of, which is Hug the Sun with Ben.
Yeah.
Ben, we've had on this podcast a number of times with the Ice Age films.
Yep.
How do you feel, can I ask? You know, we've asked him to be a part of his biggest series ever, but the dark side of that coin is there's 50 of them and he hates it coming on our show.
Yep.
We've asked you to do Sueno, which I think made $5,000 in the global box office.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I think I appreciate it because I know that you guys probably saw that I'm someone who's not into the big blockbusters. I'm into personal stories and dreams, and that's what this whole film is. It is it's dreams in so many ways, not just like these are my dreams and what I want to achieve, but also these are the weird dance dreams that I have sometimes.
Yeah.
And I stand and just have a dream of dancing and then you cut back to me and I'm still there standing outside of someone's house as a dance dream happened in my brain.
That's great.
Of course, a scene from the movie Sueno, which we'll be talking about.
If we're going to be completely honest, this is how we got Xavier on the pod. Zach and I had decided we were going to do Sueno.
Yeah.
And then I watched Hug the Sun and fuck, it's good.
Oh, thank you, mate.
It's so fucking good. It is one of the funniest things I've seen in years. And while
I've
watching
done stuff
it,
in the last few years, so that hurts my feelings.
I stand by what I said. I was
Zach,
watching
you're
it.
In it. You're in it, so that's your part.
Yeah,
of the fun.
I just think it's like I've done stuff in years. I wish you'd said months. I haven't done much in the last few months.
Anyway, while I was watching it, I messaged Zach and I said we should get Xavier on the pod. Mm. And Zach wrote back going, "Yeah, definitely." And then 5 minutes later, said, "Why don't we ask him to do Sueno?" And I was like, "Yeah, okay." And then after we agreed and you agreed, I was like, "Oh no, we could have done better for him.
We could have done Chef
Sueno."
We could have done.
There's more to talk about, I think, with Sueno. I think, you know, I've seen Chef normally. I just watched that normally and had a good time.
Yeah.
I've watched the Ice Age films. Mm. You know, that's not as exciting as delving into the early 2000s obscure, very lukewarm. And also, let's be honest, Once. It's basically the film Once.
It's so we were talking about Once. Should we? Let's just jump in.
Let's jump in.
Wow.
Can I just pause?
We never jump in this quick.
The sun just went down in my house. I'm just going to turn the light on here because I'm just sitting in the dark. And
no, absolutely.
No, that's fine.
The
we
low
don't
light
edit,
adjust
so...
is freaking out, if you can tell. Like, I look like a ghost
now. So okay.
No, please, go for it.
Well, we should, before we launch into it, while he fixes that, we should ask him about his experience with legs. That's an important question.
Yeah, you'd really jump the gun.
Well, embarrassing
me.
We were talking about the film and I just thought, why not just do the intro? But you're right. We should do some, like, guest introduction work.
Before we launch into Sweno, even though we're all itching to chat.
Itching to talk Swen.
Mm. What we always...
itching for the Swen.
What we always ask our guests, Xavier, is what's your personal relationship with John Leguizamo?
And now you don't have to personally know John Leguizamo, but what has your personal journey been with him and his media?
That being said, though, Xavier, if you do personally know John Leguizamo, you just made our lives a lot easier.
That would be great.
I mean, I wish I could say that. I wish I could say that, you know, I was living in Sydney for a short time while he was, you know, shooting a film and I ran into him. But no. There is
so
no personal. No.
That's not like a loaded thing that you did do?
No. My relationship with him, I think, starts, I think, with a lot of people my age would be the Mario Brothers film.
Yes.
Where he played Luigi Mario. And, you know, the classic quote, there's Mario, Mario, and Luigi, Mario. And that, I mean, as a child, was probably the funniest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life. And
do you want to hear a crazy twist? We did a screening of it recently. We're doing a screening soon of it in Sydney because that's where this random decision has led our lives to, that now we fly to Sydney to do
screenings of
Super
Mario Brothers
movies.
You've only got yourselves to blame.
Yes. But it holds up. That joke holds up.
Yeah, it's still good.
It's still good.
It's still very good.
Bring the house down. It's
great.
Yeah.
We you know, refer to John Leguizamo on this pod during that era as Sexy Luigi.
Yeah.
Which I would say still in Sweno is very much the Sexy Luigi face.
I think he's still in Leguizollywood.
Yes.
Is that what we call it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is a sub phase of the Sexy Luigi phase. This is when Baz Luhrmann got his hands on him and elevated him to Leguizollywood.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit less body fat, a little bit more tailoring in the clothes.
Yeah.
Leguizollywood.
Yeah.
I don't even think he's daddy legs yet. He still
He's absolutely not in Sweno.
No.
There's no daddy legs in Sweno.
No, not at all.
He's still very
hot. You knew him from... He's just hot.
Yeah.
Just a hot man.
Just a hot man.
Just a hot man.
Yeah, Sweno about, you know, like just...
Someone... I regularly have a Sweno about Sexy Luigi.
Yeah.
I Sweno now about very boring things. The more creative my life is, the more boring my Swenos are.
Yeah.
So I had a Sweno the other week where I just was catching up for coffee with an accountant to talk about accounting. Just I made up an accountant in my mind and I was like, how did the numbers work around this project? And they were like, oh, yeah, well, I would recommend you do a P&L budget. And I was like, oh, okay. Then I woke up like, ah.
That's because you know that dreams are basically your deep subconscious trying to let you know what you need to get done in your life, what is important to your soul usually.
You've got to have more coffee with accountants.
Yeah. It's either accounting or just hang out with people more.
Well, I think it's like it's what's missing, isn't it? So when the drier my life is, the more creative my dreams are.
Yes.
More often than not, my Swenos are in black and white.
Really?
No.
Yeah. Really? I have black and white Swenos. Can you believe
That's
it?
So cool. That is amazing. Do you ever have those Swenos where you're doing something and then suddenly you're in a cinema watching it? It's a movie?
No, sometimes I have the Swenos where I'm watching it from above, like I'm flying over the top of it.
Wow, that's cool.
And then Sweno. I can see my Sweno from my Sweno.
Mm.
Yeah, that makes sense, man. What about you, Zay?
Tell us about your Swenos.
Most of my Swenos just sort of, they change so much within it. You know how that weird thing you go, and I was thinking about Japan, then I was in Japan, and the person I was with, then I was thinking about my mum, and that person became my mum. But it wasn't my mum, like it's all that stuff. There's no real rhyme or reason to the Swenos, but I should write them down more because then supposedly you remember them more if you write them down.
Yeah, I need to start writing them down. I love my Swenos. And And apparently a lot of what David Lynch does is write down his suenos.
Mm.
That makes sense. I had a friend once that had night terror suenos. And once he woke up during a night terror sueno, or no, he while he was having a night terror sueno, he broke all his CDs. He took all his CDs out of their cases, snapped them all in half, and woke up from his night terror sueno in a sea of broken CDs.
Oh, it's fitting because the movie Sueno, Spanish for dream, that we're talking about, is about a man who has a sueno to one day make a CD. So it would be fitting that his nightmare, like as opposed to his sueno, would be a CD breaking.
What a nasty sueno.
Yeah.
That would be, that's so. So you liked Mario Brothers?
Of course.
I don't know if you've seen it recently, Xavier, but it really does hold up.
Yeah, it's still a great film. I think it's still, for a nice, dark, twisted take on Mario, I mean, that's what it deserves, that video game.
Yeah, it's a good film for a nice, dark, twisted take on Mario. Now, the question is, do we need a nice, dark, twisted take on Mario? That's the question.
Yes, we do.
But if you're going to do it,
They did a great job.
I would say so.
They did it well.
Now, we could have had Xavier on to talk about Super Mario Brothers, but we're cunts. So do we want to talk about Sueno now?
Are we talking Sueno?
I think we talk Sueno. I'm ready to talk about Sueno.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, we can talk about Sueno. Hey, congrats on Hug the Sun, by the way. Doing really well.
Thank you. It's really like blowing
everyone away.
Why talk about your successful, hilarious web series when we could talk about Sueno?
Yeah. I mean,
are you feeling chuffed about the response so far?
100%. I think we just hit 100K, you know.
Yeah.
Fuck, that's good.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah. It's my greatest
Sueno come to life.
Oh. It's your greatest Sueno. Yeah, we were like, hey, we're going to be happy if it hits 10K in a week.
Yeah.
Because it's on a new channel and stuff. We're like, just be happy if it hits 10K. And here it is 100K. And I think we're recording this 4 days in.
Mm. Well deserved, though. Honestly, it is so good.
Oh, yeah. And Aaron McCann, who directed it, did a fantastic job.
Oh, he blew it out of the water.
Yeah. He really did. It truly was a Sueno come Sueno.
Yeah.
All right. Here's my blurb. Sueno is a sweet, very low-budget film from 2005. It tells the story of a young Mexican-American man played by Johnny Legs as he chases his dreams of one day making a CD. We follow him as he puts together a band to compete in a radio station-sponsored contest, all while getting caught in a love triangle between a beautiful young nurse and a more age-appropriate divorcee. Johnny Legs plays Antonio, the most 2005-looking man you'll ever see in your life.
That's so funny. This film, this is what I remember of this from 2005. In 2005, I was in year 11, and I remember seeing the poster for this film.
Really?
Never seen the movie, but I saw the poster and it was on, I don't know, I don't even remember where.
Where did you see the poster?
I have no idea, but I knew when I read Sueno, I'm like, oh, I know that poster because it's a pretty Latin man hugging a pretty Latin girl. With some guitars and some roses around it.
So maybe at the video shop.
Probably at a Blockbuster or a Video Easy.
I could imagine it would have been a Blockbuster, actually. Like, there's no way they'd have a poster for this at the cinemas.
No, it didn't make cinemas. But and I remember seeing that and being like, I bet that movie is fucking sick. Because I was 16 and I was like, all I wanted to do was be held like that.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it looked like, just based solely off the image, like the most romantic, beautiful love story ever told. And what it ends up being is the most romantic, beautiful love story ever told between a man and his CD.
Yes.
He loves CDs.
He really loves his CDs.
He loves CDs. This movie, like, can we talk about how 2005 Johnny Legs looks in this movie?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's like if you went to a costume party dressed up, like a 2005 themed costume party.
Mm.
Yeah. It doesn't look like it was made in 2005. Yeah. It looks like it was set in 2005.
Yeah.
Like, at one point he's wearing a bright orange long sleeve tee.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for the bulk of the movie he's wearing a strong collared long sleeve dress shirt with a print on it.
Very year 11 formal. Untucked with jeans.
But more than anything, that haircut.
Mm. Oh, shall we talk about the haircut?
I want to talk about the haircut for the next 45 minutes.
So firstly, was it a wig?
Was it a wig, Zave?
No, I think it's that's Johnny Legs' real hair there. Like, it's just hyper-gelled and feathered and just perfect. Feathered. I mean, it's that feathered look. That's what's so good about it, which, you know, that was the best thing when guys had that back in the day, is that they'd have to stop and when they went to the toilet, you'd see them just sort of keep the feathers going. They'd actually have to touch it up.
Yeah, that's what guys at about the age of 17 had back in the day.
Yeah.
And not a 38-year-old man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's a little young. He's still, as we said, his leg was Hollywood.
Absolutely.
He's looking stunning for he looks great.
Mm-hmm.
If they'd put a 30-year-old haircut on him.
Oh, beautiful.
He would have looked 30.
Yes.
Yeah. But they put a 17-year-old boy going to his first dance with a girl he's been on two dates with down the local milkshake bar.
Yeah.
Mm.
And thinks that he's going to get in a finger in tonight. That is the hair of Johnny Legs in this film. Has.
I love it. I love it. There's another point where he puts on a loose blazer. So he walks into the house wearing he's got like a tight to the neck, brightly coloured t-shirt, like big jeans, dress shoes. And like a tight to the neck necklace over the top of the t-shirt, and I'm like, oh, he doesn't look well dressed enough for a concert that he's about to play at. Mm. But never fear, someone puts a loose fitting blazer on top of that outfit, and we have got 2005 fashionista. Yes.
Personally, my favorite was the red, white, and black patchwork button up that he wore about 2/3 of the way through the film. When he chases the nurse down on the street. That was my favourite Johnny Legs look in the film.
What sort of look did you have then, Zave? I feel like you've looked
in 2005, that would have been my... sorry, one second. Sorry.
No, that's okay. Mood music.
Jeez. I'm not giving Swerno the attention it deserves. Let me just...
You got your phone going off, you're changing the lights. I don't think you respect Swenno at all.
So maybe we're starting to think that maybe this isn't that important to you.
Listen, I want to be honest with you.
In the grand scheme of things, I think...
I bought this on YouTube and then I was watching 15 minutes of it and I realised I probably didn't have enough time to finish it, so I set it to double speed.
You're watching it like a Zach.
Yeah, I've watched the bulk of these films on double speed.
Yeah. And I'm the one who...
The trippy dream sequences even more trippier than usual. Like him dancing was just like that.
I can imagine it would have been fucked. I'm the one who watches the movie 3 days beforehand with a pen and paper.
Yeah, Mish watches it. Yeah, absolutely.
I take the notes.
Yeah.
Mish takes notes. I think you're slow. Are you softening on that yet?
Oh, 100%.
I think
around about the hollow point was when I was like, oh, that's enough of this shit.
Yeah, it's just, I was like, it was one of those things, like, I think there was some tension in the early days and because Mish would watch the whole thing 3 days in advance, write notes, then do research the next night, and then come in ready to talk about the film. And I had just started watching it at double time 45 minutes before we recorded and didn't quite get the end. And there was some tension there. But, you know, it's the kind of tension where it's like, one person is thinking, okay, I hope he comes around. Like Mish was probably thinking, I hope he comes around. Mm. And I was thinking, I know she will meet me in about 6 months. It was like, Mish was like, I hope he starts investing a little more. And I was just like, I know for a fact
that she will meet me.
In 6 months' time, we're going to be on the same page.
Yeah. No notes, no caring about it.
No, it's true.
But to be fair, then when it's a good one, I now try to give myself, I start watching it like a night or two before on the sort of chance that it's one I really love. And because there have been times where I've put myself in a position where I've had to double time a good, like a film I've really enjoyed.
Right. And so, you go, this was a shame. Like I could have enjoyed that and I've just sort of burned through it.
Yeah, so sometimes now I'll, like, a couple of days in advance, I'll start watching it, and then in about 15 minutes in, I'll go, I'll double time it on Friday. I'll just double time this on Friday and then turn it off and watch Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
But, no, to answer your question, what I used to wear in that time was rave type fashions. So I had
Did you have happy pants?
Yeah, I wore either happy pants or like just big cargo pants, really big ones. I'd have a t-shirt that I drew on myself, like a Dragon Ball Z character. Or like some sort of, you know.
Oh my god, this is legit.
I used to wear like those, you know, go to the markets and there'd be those shirts that have a peace sign and all these like weird hippie sort of things. That I'd wear those, and I used to have bleached zebra hair, blonde and black hair that I'd like spike up.
But any photos of this?
If you look on Facebook, I think there's a couple. I'm very gaunt and skinny, but you'd have to go quite far back.
Would you be happy for us to share them on our Facebook, on our Instagram?
Of course. Yeah, that was my peak. That was, I was at my peak back then. I mean,
that's amazing. You know, that's phenomenal.
Yeah. So
that's so good. Did you go to raves?
Yes. I used to go to a lot of raves.
Did you know how to rave? Did you know how to do the dances?
I can still shuffle to this day if you ask me to do it.
Wow.
I'll shuffle. Not now, obviously.
The Melbourne Shuffle.
The Melbourne
Shuffle. A lot of people don't know this, but the Melbourne Shuffle was a... I remember my cousin Matt, who was really cool and went to raves and had happy pants with smiley face on the pants.
Yeah.
He would go to raves in the city and he would talk about the Melbourne Shuffle years before Every Day I'm Shuffling. Melbourne Shuffle was huge since all through the 2000s.
This, I have a true story.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Here it comes.
So I had some friends that knew how to shuffle, and I thought it was just the coolest thing ever. I would have been maybe 14 or 15.
Yeah.
And I went home one day and I put on the music in which you shuffle to and tried to teach myself to shuffle that night. I probably practiced for about 40 minutes. I couldn't get it, and then I cried.
And then
I just pretended at parties that I didn't like dancing, when in truth Mish couldn't shuffle.
That's so hard.
As Xavier was telling me what he wore, which was pretty much boys that I wanted to hook up with when I was 15.
Oh, Xavier.
I had flashbacks.
Someone's having a sweno.
I had vicious 2003 flashbacks.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that description. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
If I had to pick how you dressed at that age, Xavier, I would not have picked that.
I would have guessed like a three-piece suit.
I would have guessed the tweed jacket from a three-piece suit over a band tee.
Oh yeah.
And I only say that because that's what I wore.
Yeah.
I loved like a Jack Skellington shirt with an ill-fitting tweed jacket over the
and
top.
And some sort of pendant on a necklace.
Yeah.
That you found at a like black alley market shop.
Yeah.
And, oh my God.
I think I was trying to do that in high school, like when I was listening to Oasis and Britpop and stuff, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to be one of those. And then it just, when I left school, I was like, nah, I'm a raver now.
That's good. It's on. My cousin Matt, who was really cool and was allowed to read FHM, I remember when he went to raves, he said, you know, it's not like clubs in the country. Clubs in the country, it's all about fights. But he said raves, he bumped into a guy at a rave and he was like, hey, man, no worries. And they had a hug, and it was a very positive environment back in the day.
Yeah,
cool.
That's really nice. I never went to a rave. I was too scared of them. And by the time I got to the age where I wasn't scared of them anymore, I didn't want to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's like me with bush doofs.
I went to a bush doof once with Claire Hooper, actually.
That makes sense.
Hey!
And I was really high, and her tire popped on her car as we were leaving. And then a guy was really nice. It's a nice story. A guy came and then put the new tire on. But I was so high, I didn't get out of the car the whole time. I just sat in the car.
That's so funny.
Which probably made it harder for him to use the jack to get the car up to put the thing on. But Claire was like, do you want to get out? I'm like, no, I'm fine. Like, I was so...
I'm just picturing this whole situation happening and all three of you are still shuffling.
Yeah. That's her talking.
You're in the car shuffling. He's changing your tire, shuffling. Claire Hooper's like, hey, man, come on. Do you want to get out of the car while she's shuffling?
No, man.
I had a friend once who told me a story about he was a country boy and we went camping, and he was saying that he went camping on this spot when he was a teenager with his family.
Mm.
And there were all these people rolled up, and then a bush doof, like, like an illegal bush door.
That's great.
At his camping site with his family, which is the funniest thing. I mean, that's like, that would make a great short film, I reckon.
Yeah. Just like, you can't stop it from happening as well. Like, one dad can't stop a whole bush doof from happening. You know, it's...
And I don't think a dad would have a problem with a bush doof.
Are just you sure? Like, you can't sleep when a bush doof's happening. I mean, that's ruined your camping holiday, surely.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Was it a day doof or a night doof? Depends what sort of doof we're talking about.
Well, I don't know, Zabe. If you were to go camping right now and while you're, like, you know, cooking your snags, in comes an illegal bush doof... Isn't there a part of you that would just be like, ah, memes?
Yeah.
Thanks for the memories.
Thanks for the memes.
The memories. Thanks for the memes.
I don't know. I think I'd be really shitty and I wouldn't. Okay. Nah, fuck you, kids. Get out of here. I'm trying to have calm time.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There is something I do really want to talk about that I feel quite passionately about with Sweno. So firstly, I would like to throw it down and say that I was entertained by this film.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it might not be for the reasons the film wanted me to be entertained, but I watched it from start to finish in normal time. One time speed.
I watched it in normal time. I watched it in two parts. I actually, fun story, had to buy it. I had to rent it twice.
Because I watched half
and then...
You spent $7 on Sweno?
I think that's good. I think it was I feel like there were people involved in this production. It was a very low budget, lo-fi production. They were lucky to get Johnny Legs involved. I reckon that, like, me buying, renting Sweno twice, I think someone's actually going to see that check.
That's, you know, nice, isn't it?
That's true.
Well, isn't it going to be nice when it's like, why are there these four people
watching Sweno?
Sweno in Melbourne?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, that would be so exciting for the director or producer or creators of this to go, I knew Sweno would finally find its market. And
yeah, in Melbourne.
In Melbourne.
Do you reckon that when this episode gets released, someone who, at least one person who helped make Sweno is going to listen?
I always think with movies of this sort of, like, the smaller scale things, you're more likely to get a creative listening, because on a big movie, I guess there's more creative, so maybe there's more of a chance that it'll intersect with it.
Mm.
But I think on a smaller movie, someone might be like, oh my God, someone did a podcast about my movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was a little movie I did. I haven't done a movie since.
Yeah.
I'd love to have a listen. So I think it's more likely on a smaller movie.
It felt like a passion project in a way. I felt like that's what it was. Like, it was.
Yeah, I would say so.
It was someone who was really, you know, loved music and had maybe a similar story to Johnny's character and was trying to, you know. And it felt like there were those real bands. I feel like there were a lot of real bands.
I feel so.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think so. I don't know a lot of Latin music, but from what I've gathered from the film, a lot of very popular Latin music kind of running through
it,
right?
Yeah, yeah. That, like, that guy at the end that seemed like had an amazing voice.
Yeah. They introduced him like he was a huge deal, and I was like, who's that?
That's my favourite thing. When you watch something without any context, you don't know who the person is, but everyone else around them is acting like, oh, here we go. Like, you should know. And then it just feels weird to you because everyone's like, "With this man needs no introduction." He's like, "He sort of does for me. He needs an introduction
for me over here, little us in Australia."
Australia, I need to know.
Yeah, reminds me when that who was the guy who left One Direction? Zayn left.
Getting a head start on Harry.
I remember when Zayn left, and I didn't care, and that's when I knew I was old.
Yeah,
that was like a turning point for me. Mum says for her it was when Kurt Cobain died. She's like, that's sad, but she didn't care like the world cared. And she's like, oh, I'm old. And when Zayn left One Direction, I didn't care.
I cared. I'm still hip. tell me anything that's happened in pop culture and I'll tell you I cared because I'm still with it.
No, I didn't care. Zayn got...
I love TikTok.
I don't know what Zayn's doing now.
See, I'm so old. I've already had that moment where I've gone, I don't even know any new popular music or anything. But I'm aware that I don't like popular music because of my age. And now I've come to the point where I watch Rage and go, well, this is nice for them. This is nice for the kids. I don't even get angry that I don't like it. I go, I don't understand it, but I'm just happy that kids are having a good time, which is even sadder, really.
I'm at a point in my life where, do you know, my getting older moment was One Direction as well. It's when I heard You Don't Know You're Beautiful and I liked it. Oh. I liked the song and I was like, I like this song. And 5 years ago, 2 years ago when I heard it, and I was like, I would be like, yeah, but it sucks and because it's like, and I was like, no, I like this song. And hey, I like what Miley Cyrus is doing right now.
Yeah.
Mm.
I just like this music and it doesn't matter who wrote it.
That was my moment with
One Direction was like, I'm old now because I'm not trying to
I had that with Katy Perry's Roar, I think it was, and when it came out at that time.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is actually fun. This is a fun song. Like it. Like how it makes me feel. I feel strong. I feel confident.
I've said this before on our pod. I think I said it in recap. So I think this is a fresh new piece of info for Leguizamarama listeners. But I used to listen to Leona Lewis's Bleeding Love in private. I was like, I loved that song. I thought it was great, but I would never put it on in the car. And I would never, like, you know, listen to it in front of other people.
I loved that song.
Yeah, same. And now, but no, now, like, I would say in the last, like, 10 years, let's be real, 5, I've just been like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And now I'll listen to Leona Lewis, Bleeding Love, as I'm stuck in traffic on Sydney Road.
That was like, who was that guy that had the club in Ibiza and he wrote sad songs and he was in some sort of military...
Paris Hilton's a DJ in Ibiza now.
Yes.
James
Blunt.
James Blunt.
James Blunt.
James Blunt. I remember I liked James Blunt and then I was like, and then I found out that he wasn't cool. Mm. I just presumed he was a singer-songwriter. Mm. And I feel like there were singer-songwriters, like I didn't think he was that different to like a Bob Evans. Mm.
Yeah.
I just thought he was one of the singer-songwriters. I thought I was allowed to like him. Mm. And then suddenly like people on Triple J was making fun of him and I was like, oh, but that I
happened,
like him.
That happened with Coldplay as well. Like a lot of people like Coldplay sucks and it's like Yellow's a good song.
Yeah, they started on Triple J, I think. I think I remember them being playing Triple J and then quickly went to commercial and said, like, oh, Coldplay, it's all over everyone. Get out quick. You can't like them anymore.
I remember Sex on Fire by
Kings of Leon.
Kings of Leon. Mm. That was my first moment of going like, hey, this is a bit funny because this person I'm talking to right now that is telling me the song sucks, that's like, this song is bad. It was a bad choice that they did. They sold out. They decided to make a pop song. Like, I am sure that 2 months ago when the song first came out, you told me it was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was like, I think that 100%. It's got nothing to do with the song.
Yeah.
And I think maybe all of this, like, auteur stuff that, like, is selling out might be a crock of shit.
Which brings us quite easily back to Sueno because that's what this whole movie is about.
Very good.
Whether or not you're going to sell out and whether or not you're going to stay true to yourself and your group.
Oh, my God. We often
take notes because that was quite professional than us.
We often have the guests host the show. That's the Mission Zach mantra is get some guests on and they will be bringing us on track.
We bring them on to control us.
I don't think that we were getting away from it too much. I never thought we'd have another opportunity to get back to Sueno because there were no other reasons you would bring it up. And I was like,
you're not going to come back to Sueno.
Do have something to say about Sueno.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as I was saying, I actually did find it entertaining.
Yeah.
For different reasons to what I believe the creators wanted me to find it entertaining.
Mm.
One of the reasons why I found it really entertaining was because I imagine they had quite a tight amount of time in which they could make this film. Because there are quite a few dance sequences in this film.
Yeah.
Mm. I think there's like 3.
Yeah.
And they're good, but they're under rehearsed.
Yeah, no.
And all they needed was about 2 more days of dance rehearsal.
Yeah.
Even just a 12 to 5. 2 days of that.
Mm.
Because as they were dancing, it's like you could see them looking at the people around them to make sure they were getting the steps correct.
Yeah.
And, like, there were moments where, like, it looked like they were about to go left but remembered they had to go right. It looks like a rehearsal.
Yeah.
It's like they filmed a rehearsal, but it's meant to look like a really snappy, tight dream sequence.
Yeah. Mm. And you can also tell because they had to cut around it. Like when you haven't rehearsed a fight sequence and they edit it too much. They didn't just sort of let the people dance. They'd have to keep cutting. The only thing they focused on was that bit where Johnny Leguizamo threw down her legs in the first one. Remember that bit where he went, legs down,
yes,
like that. It's the only thing he was able to nail. And it was a weird move. It was a very weird move.
Yes, it was. Mm. That was when he was dancing with the
The nurse. Yeah.
The nurse.
Yeah.
There were a few. It was those flights. Flights of fancy, I'm finding on my Leguizamo journey, is a harder thing to pull off than people realize.
Yeah.
I think there's I can't think of other examples, but there's just been a few, like, lower budget movies where, like, they probably just shouldn't have done the flight of fancy. You know, the magical
like that
realism.
Kind of magic yeah.
Yeah,
you know, that's a tough thing to nail tonally.
Do you know who does it really, really well?
Who?
In comes Mish with her classic knowledge. Is Gene Kelly in a majority of his films.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Yeah, if you want to see it done really well, watch An American in Paris.
Yeah.
Great reference.
Or in
thank you so much.
Singing in the Rain with the Gotta Dance sequence. It just goes on for like half the film and it's amazing. Yeah,
it's like they were trying to do that again, but without Gene Kelly.
It's without Gene Kelly.
No, but I felt that a little bit with La La Land. You know, they had a few moments there where I just like I liked that movie, but I didn't love it because it was like there's something about how the magical plays with the realism that La La Land didn't quite hit.
Yeah.
Whereas you're absolutely right about Gene Kelly. Like, it's just like, I think because he's a fucking athlete. We've talked about
this before. Gene Kelly's also a dancer.
Yeah.
And John Leguizamo and that nurse are not dancers.
They're both beautiful.
Absolutely.
Gorgeous people.
Absolutely gorgeous.
But not dancers.
I think Elizabeth Penner, who played the neighbour, who I'm a big fan of. I've always
huge,
liked her.
Yeah, huge. She's great.
I loved
her. Great cast.
She was really good in, like, she was in, like, Jacob's Ladder and
I love Jacob's Ladder.
How good is Jacob's Ladder? I watched it again. My wife hadn't seen it. We watched it again and she was like, that was good. That was a trip.
The twist.
I've never seen it.
No, that's fine. It's not a super scene film.
Mm.
Didn't do that crazy good. But the twist is,
I don't want
to give it away, but it's one of those twists where it, like, a good twist, you know how sometimes there's a twist and it's like, well, that's just different.
Yeah.
You were just traveling along one path and the ending is just different.
Yes. Yeah.
This is a twist that's like, oh, you've fundamentally shifted what I thought I was watching.
It's got Shawshank Redemption in it, doesn't it?
It does
have Shawshank Redemption in it. The whole movie, about halfway through.
Just play Shawshank.
The movie goes for 4.5 hours because about Jacob, he's like, hey, before we go up this ladder, do you want to watch Shawshank Redemption?
Yeah. And the other character's like, fuck yeah, I do. I love it.
Yeah. And like, they're like, that's the one that just came out on video. Yeah. They're like, yeah, I'm so upset I missed it at the movies. Then they chuck it on. They watch the whole thing.
Get up the ladder.
And then they go up the ladder.
I'm going to watch Jacob's
Elizabeth
Ladder
Penner
tonight.
Elizabeth Penner walks in and is like,
I think you'd love it.
You'd love watch it tonight.
I will.
Elizabeth Penner is great.
Is Elizabeth Penner a dancer?
That's what I was wondering. But I feel like she was just good enough to be able to, as a performer, to make the dance more interesting. That dance between those two was a little bit more interesting because he's all like, I'm in a suit and I'm all horny, and she's like, I'm a sexy woman. And it made it a bit more interesting. Not that it was a great dance, but it wasn't
She's got a real, of all the cast, I thought the cast was all great, but of all the cast, she had this quality of just being so comfortable. I love an actor that's comfortable, and she just feels like so in it and like really beautiful. I think in these sorts of movies, these ones that shoot fast where maybe the script doesn't quite have as much dramatic tension because it's a first-time writer, it really shows who the great actors are. And I think the great actors are the ones that just sit.
Absolutely.
And totally. She sits it. She was really good in this film.
I think so too. Mm. I thought that she was by far the best.
Absolutely.
And I say that with nothing but respect to the legs, but Penner outshined the legs.
Penner outshined the legs.
Penner was wonderful.
Also, yeah,
wonderful.
Penner's ex, I think, was called Javier in the whole. Was that right? Did I?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, her ex at the end when she's like, I can't sing on stage. So basically it's all, basically like Zach explained in his blurb, Johnny Legs decides he needs to win a singing competition or a music competition in order to make his CD.
Yeah.
And he brings on Elizabeth Penner to sing with him because that's his neighbour and she's a really good singer and he hears her one night. So she's like, yeah, cool, I'll do it with you. And it's on this huge stage in front of all these people. But before they go on, she sees her ex-husband, Javier, out in the crowd when she parts the curtain a very smidgen amount right in the middle of that tiny right amount. There. Right there, in the right at the front, is her ex-husband kissing on a young lass.
Mm.
And she goes, I can't sing anymore. And they're like, oh, no, you have to. And she's like, okay.
Yeah,
that was a weird scene.
I love how many times people sort of go, I can't do this or what are we going to do? And someone's like, there's that scene at the bar where Legs is like, oh, well, I've got no band now. They didn't want me to be part of this band. What am I going to do? And he's like, don't worry about it. I've got another band here. And another band comes up.
Yeah.
And it's like, so many
but the scenes. Best part is the band just sort of walks up. That's a fantastic moment where they're like, yeah, they're literally like, he's like, I don't know what we're going to do. The band has quit and he's like, yeah, we're stuffed. And then the band just walks up, stands there for a bit as they finish their conversation. They're like, hello, we're a band. Would you like us to sing a song? And they're like, okay.
Okay. And then Legs nearly joins in for a bit and then the scene ends. I thought it was going to be one of those scenes where they just start playing, they jam and you're like, you know, just play a C, we'll see where this goes. And then, oh my God, we're making music, we're fucking... But it just ends. Yeah. The scene's just like, that's enough, you know.
Talking about once, that moment was the perfect moment for a once moment.
Yes.
Where like, you know, like that because once is a very similar film, right? And I think the only thing that elevated once above this film is that fucking song in the middle at the in the piano store.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh. Falling Slowly.
Like, that is like a whole movie, like a tiny little low-budget movie shot for nothing with non-actors. Yeah. This was a tiny little low-budget movie shot for nothing with non-singers.
The two things that can make me cry are not being able to shuffle and the song Falling Slowly in the middle of once.
Yeah. Genuinely, like once is not significantly better, but it has that moment.
Yes.
I've never seen a film like... elevated because of one scene more, except for maybe Dreamgirls.
Mm.
What?
Dreamgirls.
Oh, when Jennifer Hudson.
Hudson's scene in Dreamgirls.
Yeah, I saw Dreamgirls after Jennifer Hudson had won the Oscar, and I'm like, this movie sucks. And then that scene happens. I'm like, oh, there it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there you go.
Oh,
okay.
There it is.
Wowee.
All right, you can have it.
I worked at a cinema when that movie came out, and like I would just, every time it was the Jennifer Hudson scene, I'd be like, well, I'm going to hang out the back of the cinema. You know, like I'd be doing a so cinema good. Check and I'd be like, oh, it's the Jennifer Hudson scene. I'm going to watch this. This scene's great.
It's so good. One other scene I really want to talk about in Sueno is so when Johnny Legs is like, I'm going to get a band together and we're going to do this music competition, the first band he gets together, not the second one that just slides in on a fucking, like, on wheels. We're a band, the first one. He goes and sees them play and they're playing, like, I don't know, weird pop grunge. And he's like, it's not really my style. Like, I don't think that we're going to mesh. And then his manager's like, give him a shot. And he's like, oh, I don't know. It's like I'm stepping into this band with a different style.
Mm.
But, okay, I'll give it a crack. And then the next scene, Johnny Legs is getting really mad at them for not playing his style.
Yeah.
And I was like... Not Johnny Legs. We love Johnny, but his character's a bit of a dick.
Yeah, Antonio,
and he's like pushing him around and stuff. Like he's getting
angry like,
at him.
Play it right. And it's like, you came into their band, but then, you little cunt.
And then he's like, the manager goes, like, everyone just calm down, get your egos out of the room. And he's like, yeah, look, I'm so sorry, man. It's like, yeah, I'm sorry. And it's fine. Like any conflict in this film sort of rises and then quickly falls.
Yes.
You know?
There's a lot of conflict is like, a lot of the conflict is not in the scene we're watching. That's another thing I noticed. There's a lot of like, oh no, I'm stressed.
Yeah.
Because of this moment that is about to happen or has just happened and I'm going to talk to someone else. Like there's a bit where he talks to his manager about the fact that he loves two women, but he doesn't talk to one of the women about it. And it's like that would have been the more...
100%.
Interesting scene.
That,
you know,
would be an interesting scene. But
and like the bit where she steps off stage and is like, I can't perform. Mm. And no one, everyone's like, that I understand.
And like, I want to give little 15, 16-year-old Mish a hug from when she saw that poster for Sueno and was like, this is going to be the most beautiful movie ever.
Yeah.
This, the romance between Antonio and the nurse, not necessary.
No. Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Really not necessary, and it's not a big part of the story. It's this weird little sub thing, and every once in a while she pops in and he gives her kisses.
And she
but
has
like,
her own
it doesn't
story.
Actually escalate the story at all.
No.
And it's like I wanted, when I selected Sueno for us to watch this week, I wanted a big old soppy romance.
Yeah. Mm.
That's what I was in the mood for. I was in the mood for like a proper Notebook.
Yeah.
You know
I
what
think
I mean?
There was the
and
makings.
I didn't get the Notebook. I got Sueno.
There was the makings of it. I think if Johnny Legs had been, if his character loved Johnny Legs, but if his character had been like played by a 25-year-old and the nurse was 25 and the divorcee was still closer to her 40s, it would have been a more interesting, complex, and we focused on the love triangle.
Yeah.
And it was central to the... I'm playing script doctor again. Shut up, Zach. I'm always playing script doctor. I've never written a film. What do I know? I can tell them how to make a funny, absurd sketch. That's about it.
Oh, God. Well, look, if anyone wants to watch it in Australia, it's not on any streaming services. So we rented it on YouTube and Zach rented it twice.
I rented it twice. I think, look, if ever you're going to watch a movie that we've done, this is a movie. It felt very small. I think it felt like it's a great cast. I think
Johnny's the lead.
Johnny's the lead.
You get all Johnny all the time.
Yeah,
it's
constant
good.
Johnny.
Constant Johnny.
I want to know more about the director, though. I don't know anything about it. I want to know more about this film. There's so little about it online. If anyone knows more info, actually please do DM us.
I feel like it would have, this director, if they kept going, they would have made, you know, more and more better sort of things. Like it was, it had a lot of potential in it, I guess.
I agree. I think it was like a sort of a dipping the toes in the water. And I really think that if they'd done some TV, but I don't think they did anything after this film, and it breaks my heart.
From what I can see, it's kind of like the only thing that Jane Chabria made.
Yeah,
right.
Which I'm so. I just would love to know more about this film, like you know, because as a first film, as a toe in the water for some of these creatives, I think there's so much promise, but then there's so little info about it online. And
yeah, and a big team of Latin creatives as well, like all the producers, vast majority of the cast.
Great cast.
It's got a young Michael Pena in it, who you from Ant-Man and the Ant-Man films and other great stuff.
And Nestor Serrano, who I'm trying to work out what I know him from. I'm Googling him now.
Was that the manager?
Yeah. What's he? He was on 24. I think he's just in everything.
Yeah,
he's just one
of those guys that pops up in everything. I love that scene. He's like, hey, I'm glad you sung up there when he talks to Elizabeth Penner. It's like, because I've been thinking about you. I've been wild for you for a long time. And that comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, and then she's like, all right, even though she was in love with Johnny Legs. But now it's fine.
That's fine. You know what? There's someone else. And then they sort of do a cheers.
The guy
from
Bad Boys wants me.
Yeah.
There's also in that scene, right, there's just this like guy in the band that's like, what a crazy journey we've been on.
Yeah.
I've met the love of my life.
Yes,
I'm like, who the fuck?
Yes, I thought the same thing.
Just this guy has this bad. I'm like, either
so much.
They
now
cut
we're a
all
family.
Of his scenes or like, why are they giving this guy a monologue? Crazy stuff.
I didn't even know he was in the film until that point. Like, also, I love the final song as well when Elizabeth Penner finally gets to sing properly, because the first one she's just a backup vocals, and I'm like, why did he need her so bad? Then she finally gets to sing, and then they cut to the guy playing the melodica, you know, that little piano you blow into, and he's trying to look real cool, and no one looks cool playing that. He's like,
I also love how like sexy and calm that song is.
Yeah.
And it cuts, like they cut to, are you going to say this?
I think so, you go.
And they cut to a shot of the boyfriend. She's like, I can't do it, I can't do it. And then they cut to a shot of the ex-husband and he's just like, blah, 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 blah. And he's like pouring like a champagne into his new girlfriend's glass and it's spilling over. Everywhere. He's so distracted.
Oh.
But it doesn't happen at like a big emotional punchy part of the song. It just sort of happens halfway through the first verse.
My favourite thing ever is they, when Johnny Legs and his band are playing, I think it's their first song, it's like the most inoffensive pop, Latin pop song. It's not hard hitting. There's not a lot of bass, but he still manages to like thrash his head about and like mosh essentially. And it's like just that kind of, I'm a rock star. It's like,
yeah.
While also being like, la, 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 la,
la, la, la. Doesn't match up at all.
No.
I loved the opening. I loved the bit in the. I love when him and Michael Penner. I love that scene.
Which one?
I don't know. The top.
Hey, Michael look. Penner's like, I'm going to pretend to have sex with the girl that you like. That scene.
I just liked the look of it. I liked the aesthetic. I'm talking about when it first cuts to it and it's quite washed out.
Oh,
I just like
his backstory and his mum and stuff, and it's sort of like,
and then
quickly
it cuts to I was like, I think that it was a first time filmmaker with a lot of promise, and I'm curious to know where they ended up.
Yeah,
awesome. I would love to know
stylistic choices like that poster that would keep coming to life that he'd look at.
Yeah, that was sort of cool.
There was interesting stuff there. Like,
the soundtrack was cool. I mean, not so much the stuff they sang live, but that didn't do it for me.
I liked Sueno. I liked the song at
the end. That was nice, but some of their other stuff sucked.
Yeah, yeah.
But but all the other music like that him and Elizabeth Penner play together in his apartment when he first realizes that she can sing.
Yeah.
That stuff's beautiful.
That was great.
At this point, Xavier, we tend to give our Leguistamo score.
Okay.
So our five listeners already know what a Leguistamo is, but for the purposes of a new guest, a Leguistamo is how Leguizamo-y the film was. So don't think about the film out of five. Think about how Leguizamo-y it is.
Can I just say very quickly, I love that we explain to every guest what the Leguistamo is. I would love to just, next time we have a guest on, pretend like we assume that any of our guests, like anyone in the comedy community listens to anyone else's podcast.
Xavier, we know you're a huge fan, so there's no point. But just, I'm going to give it 46 bazingos. What do you reckon?
Just like, I just love this note. Like, there's this. I remember I did a podcast once with someone, like quite someone I really like, high profile comic, and it wasn't one that I was in it as well. And I just, they were so upfront. And I was like, I love this honesty, because usually when I do a podcast, I'm like, hey, guys, I love this podcast. And I've been listening very quickly 10 minutes before I went on. Yeah. And they literally were just like, so what's the concept? I've not listened to this podcast.
Oh, the best ever was, like, honestly, the best example of that is Christian Hull on our podcast.
Yeah.
It's like 20 minutes into, so we had Christian Hull, he did Die Hard 2 with us over Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And about, half an hour into the podcast, it was a long episode, he just started pissing himself laughing. It's like, what's so funny? And he was just like, I just realized what your podcast is about.
You're like, it was about that guy that had two lines in this film?
I'm going to give my first Leguistamo rating, taking into mind, of course, that he was a lead. He was pretty much in every scene. You hear him do a little bit of singing, which is cute, and a little bit of dancing in a wide leg pant, which is also very nice. And he was rocking a 2005 vibe, but he was just about 10 years too old to play the role. I'm giving him four Leguistamos.
Out of five?
Yes.
Okay.
He loses a star because I don't think it was, and I hate saying this, I don't think it was correctly cast.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, yeah. Look, I got to give it the same. It's four Leguistamos. He's in it heaps. I think it was an admirable film. I thought it was great to see him, but it should have been someone 30 or younger and a singer first.
Yes.
Mm. I think if we learnt anything from Once, should have been a singer first. But I think he got this film made. I think him being in it is why this film exists. And
I
think I really love that he did that, because I think it's a really beautiful film with some amazing actors, and I think him doing it got it made.
Mm.
So actually, I'm going to bump it up to 4.5.
Hey.
Wow. I think he was like, look, I think he knew. He was like, I don't think I can quite write for this part, but if it gets this film made and it gives people
a leg up,
isn't
that's
it? That's nice.
So I'm giving it 4.5 because I've decided Johnny Legs did it. because he's a hero.
Okay.
I think he could have done, you know, Hollywood, Mr. Hollywood. And he said, no, thank you. I'm doing this little
film. I'm going to do Sueno.
Yeah. I'm going to give it 3 legs.
Yeah, okay. That's fair. Like with Star Mode.
That actually sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah, that's probably fair. We've fucking lost our minds, Xavier.
You guys have been doing this for too long and you've lost your minds, okay?
I think you're actually being quite generous.
Leguistamos, though, you know, they're not stars. It's Leguistamos.
This isn't Leguistamo at his best. It's not his great, strong character work.
Yeah, what am I talking about?
Yeah, I don't know.
We can't go more than 5. Chefs are 5.
Yeah, like you watch a film where Leguistamo comes in. You just
give it 4.5.
I go back. I go to 4. I give it 4. He's a lead. You can't go lower than 4.
Are you being peer pressured by Xavier?
No, actually, I'm hearing Xavier. 2.5. This is middle of the road, all right?
He's a lead.
Doesn't matter.
Xavier.
He's not. He wears a long sleeve tee.
Did you not see his hair? That's a versatile actor.
Xavier, did you not see those pecs poking through that long sleeve tee? How can you give anything with those pecs poking through that long sleeve tee?
Yeah, 2.5.
Any less than 3.
I stand by it. I stand.
Oh my God. Please. If you want to give more reasoning, you can.
No. I think it's just that's not what I think of when I think of John Leguizamo. This is not Sueno. I'm sorry.
How do you feel about us next time we have a guest on? Next time we have a guest on that pretends they've listened to the podcast.
All right.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, just next time someone comes on and goes, oh, I love this podcast, go, yeah, thank you so much, and then just assume everything.
Yep, okay. That's great.
Because no one listens to each other's podcast. Oh, I love your podcast. Thank you so much. How many Leguistamos?
When I said I loved it, I meant I loved the concept, not that I loved it and listened.
Yeah. You never said this. You never did this. You know what you're doing, mate.
Xavier and I.
You never shot yourself in the foot.
No. Xavier and I worked together on this thing a couple of years ago, and it was when recaps was happening. And I was talking about it with Xavier, and I was like, I'm going to get you on recaps. And then recaps ended, and now we've brought you on to this one, which you probably didn't want to do. You seemed quite keen for the MasterChef one. But then when that ended, we're like, we'll bring him on to our next project, which was the John Leguizamo film Sueno.
Yeah.
And I was excited about recaps because I remember I would talk to you guys about it and you'd be like, there used to be a host of MasterChef. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? Like it was. And then you said, do you want to watch Sueno? I was like, yeah, I guess.
We're probably going to do World Idol at some point if you want to.
If you want to be a part of World Idol.
Okay.
Yeah, we can.
Do you remember World Idol?
When they brought everyone together into the one giant Australian
for a special two-part event, and it was like they brought all their Simon Cowells, it was all the mean judges, and it was all the winners of all the idols. So the winners had the mean judges be mean to them.
Yeah.
So it was like Guy Sebastian, who had earned his place, gets up there, and then some Simon Cowell from Sweden is like, "What is with your hair?"
So we'll bring you onto that. I know that you've gotten like 100,000 views on this web series already, but if you want to grab another 5 from our listenership, tell them about Hug the Sun, please.
Please, please watch Hug the Sun. Thank you so much.
No, of course. It's the best. I really, really love Hug the Sun. It like made me so happy.
Well, apparently, it's better than anything I've done in the last 2 or 3
It's better than anything I've ever seen Zach do.
Except I am an EP on this, so technically I did do it. Fuck you. But it's a very Hollywood-style EP. I did very little.
Thank you so much for joining us on Leguizamarama, Xavier.
Thank you so much.
And I want you to know, you are better than this. Thank you.
Thanks, Abe.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.